I gotta tell you, I read today's gospel lesson from John, and about four words in, my eyes just glaze over, because I cannot figure out what he's talking about. It just, it repeats so many words, and the phrases are just sort of arbitrary, and it's not better in Greek, it's just a gobbledygook. And so I really, really struggle with this. There's other places in John that are like this too. Some of it is more clear and easier for me to follow, but some, and it's a prayer that Jesus does. Like, it seems like it ought to be important. I probably ought to figure out what's going on here and be able to share that with you, because probably you read that too, and maybe you did better than I did. But even so, it's not real easy to figure out exactly what the point is, to sort of, you know, it's not easy to keep the thread through that prayer. This is one of three parts of this prayer. It's, you know, the night that Judas has left, the night that Jesus was betrayed, but the night that they gathered, more importantly, for the Last Supper, and Jesus washed their feet, then Jesus talked for a really long time after that. This is kind of the end of that. The end of Jesus talking was this prayer. It has three parts, and each year in the last Sunday of the season of Easter, because remember, the season of Easter is 50 days long, so the seventh Sunday of Easter, which is today, every year we get part of this prayer. Last year there was the first part, this year there's this part, next year will be the third part. I don't like any of the parts, because they just, and this is the longest one, and my brain just can't handle it. And it's not just today. It's not just because it's Sunday morning and I'm a little groggy. It's every day this week I looked at it and my eyes glazed over and I never really got through what the point really was supposed to be very well. Now, I will put in a plug. On Wednesday nights we're having our Wednesday church nights right now. They're doing a Bible study on the Gospel of John. So if you want to get it better, you can talk with Pastor Sarah and come in on Wednesdays. There's, you know what, dinner at 5:30, class from 6 to 7. So come on in and then you'll know more about the Gospel of John. I don't get to be in that class because I got to teach confirmation. So that's why I'm having all this trouble reading it this week, because I don't get to go to class. I can only make my wife do so much of my job for me before it gets out of hand. So, now what I did do is I looked at a couple of commentaries and things, and the most useful thing I found was, you know, in order to make sense of this reading from John's Gospel, what can help is to create a word cloud. You ever made a word cloud? It's where you take the text of something, take all the words, and you plug them into a thing online, and it makes a picture, and the words that are used more often are bigger, and the words that are used less often are smaller, and it sort of gives you a visual representation of what the thing says. So you can figure out at least which words are repeated the most, right? And it gives you this in this interesting artistic sort of way. And I thought, oh, that seems like a decent idea. So at least you can pick out themes, like what is he talking about here? And it, you know, it doesn't use words like to and the and, you know, silly things like that. It mostly sticks to the important words in the word cloud. And the biggest word in this word cloud, surprisingly to me, was the word given. And soon thereafter was the word gave. Those are the same word. I looked it up in the Greek version, like those are all the same kind of word. So perhaps one of the important points about this lesson, perhaps one of the things Jesus is trying to get across to us, is the story of what God has given us. What has God given us? Anybody? Anybody know? What has God given us?
Life.
Anything else?
Jesus.
Yeah, always a good one. Anything else?
Salvation.
Sure. I mean, I think we could go on, but you get the gist, right? The point of this prayer that Jesus is praying for his disciples is firstly what God has given us. It talks in there, it's about, you know, God has given Jesus to the people and given the people to Jesus and back. And I still just can't follow it. But we know that the important message is that God has given us Jesus. That God has given us life, that God has given us salvation. And that everything we do is because of what God has given us. That's a good place to start. That I can grab onto. Okay, that makes a little bit of sense to me. The next word that came up in our word cloud is the word belong, which also surprised me, belong. To whom do we belong? God. I think somebody like whispered it. We belong to God. We belong to Jesus. God has given us to Jesus. We belong to Christ. We are of Jesus. Now, in the thing, it actually talks about, like, we do not belong to the world. We do not belong to the world. We'll get to that in a minute. But we do belong to God in Jesus Christ. And that's another valuable and important message for us as we think of this. The next word in the word cloud, I know it's silly that I'm doing it this way, but really it makes a lot more sense to me this way. The next word was one. One. We are one with Jesus. Jesus is one with God. It also talks about the evil one, so that comes in there too, to be fair. But the oneness that matters here is the oneness that we have with God in Jesus. It's the same as the belong thing. It's the same message, right? We belong to Christ. We are one with God somehow through Christ. And we are one with one another in the church. You know, in John, the big message, the big new commandment is love one another. Right? So they're the one, the word one even shows up in that message. The next word in the word cloud, I'll be done with this very soon, I promise, is the word truth. Jesus talks about the truth, how God's word is the truth. What in John's gospel is God's word? Who, maybe, is God's word? Anybody know? Yeah. See? I don't get self-conscious. The teacher, everybody's going to get detention on Wednesday night this week. I guess. I don't know. The confirmation kids will be downstairs playing ping pong. No, Jesus is God's word. Jesus is the truth. In John's gospel, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. You may not have gotten to that one yet in your class. No? Okay, but you will. Ha! I'm doing your homework for you now. Go on Wednesday nights. You got your homework done. Jesus says, I am the truth. When Jesus talks about the truth, he's speaking about himself in a, you know, sort of metaphorical, oblique, complicated way that, again, it helps to just look at something as simple and colorful as a word cloud that even my son could pick out the important things in. So Jesus is praying about himself and how he is one with the church and how they all belong to God because of what God has given them, which again is back to Jesus, back to life and salvation. This is the message. This is the prayer that Jesus prays for his disciples, that we may know all of these things, that we may know that we are one in Christ, that we belong to God, and that all that God has given us is what shapes our lives. Now, in my word cloud that I was so clever or not to use, I noticed that there was a word missing. And so then I looked in a different place and figured out the word world is very prominent in this lesson. It shows up like 15 times. The word world, but it didn't show up in my word cloud, and I was like, what is it? Is that like the or to or and? I don't know why it didn't show up. It was like a trick. It was like a test, because the word world shows up a bunch of times and yet didn't make it into my word cloud. So John's community had a complicated relationship with the world, right? This was a group of correct me if I'm wrong, teacher of the thing on John lately, but I understand that this is a group of primarily Jewish Christians who had more or less been thrown out of the synagogue for the Jesus stuff at this point. I'm getting a nod. Okay, feeling good about it. And so they had this kind of antagonistic relationship with people outside of their group, right? Because they had been kicked out of another group. They knew they needed to trust each other, and they didn't necessarily trust people outside of their own circle. And so sometimes that translated to some antagonistic words about so-called the world, the people outside. And yet, what's really interesting about that, even though they had this not very good relationship with the world, and it sounds like they're trying to be, You know, reading especially the first part of this lesson and lots of other parts of John's Gospel, it seems like John is telling them to withdraw from the world, right? To keep to themselves, to focus on their own, you know, individual or small community salvation and let the world burn. But that's not what it actually says at all. It finally comes back to when Jesus says, "And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you." So Jesus acknowledges that the church remains in the world. And then much more importantly, toward the end in verse 18, it says, "As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." Jesus acknowledges the messiness of the world that they live in and of our world that we live in. And yet Jesus sends them anyway. Just as we have been sent into the world, that we need to be sent into the world. We could be like John's community here. And we could also sort of interpret it wrong and sort of get focused on ourselves and worry about our own individual salvation and the salvation of just the people looking around in this room. But because we could say, well, the world is a messed up place and we don't like the politics or we don't like the violence or a million things that we don't like in the world, and we could say, well, we're going to avoid all that and focus just on God. We could say, we're going to focus on just what's between me and God, or us and God. That's not where Jesus leaves this lesson. And in the end, I really appreciate the tension that John's community has with the rest of the world. Because our world, too, is a mess. I don't like to read the news all the time. Or I like to read the news that agrees with me. You know what I mean? You know how it goes nowadays. And yet, Jesus sends them into the world. Jesus sends us into the world. We gather here on Sunday morning, so that we can be strengthened to go back out. The goal of being here is so that we can go back there, so that we can go back to our daily lives, so that we can interact with people in a way that shows those people that they too belong to God in Christ. That they too are one with the God who created them, who loves them, who has set them free. That they too have obtained salvation through Jesus, not by anything they did or by anything they believe or by anything that they've earned, but through the love of God in Jesus. And if God loves us and if God loves them, then love needs to be real. It can't just be words. It can't just be an idea or a feeling. I've talked about this in recent weeks as well. It needs to be actual relationship and action that makes people's lives better. Jesus sends us into the world, not only to focus on the hereafter, not only to focus on heaven, but to focus on what's going on right now in the actual lives of actual people. If the world is a messed up place, then we are sent to that world to care for the people living in that mess. We are sent into the world. And we trust that we will not be consumed by the world because, again, because of what we've been given by God, because we belong to God in Christ, because we are one with Christ who is the truth. Amen.